of you and we praise you. We need to sing hallelujah because sometimes we need to sing through our hurt and through our struggle and through our strife. Lord, we pray, as we've always done recently, but we pray for Uvalde and the families and everyone there. But yet we can still sing a hallelujah in the middle of it. As tough as it is, as hard as it is, we know that it's not the end. We thank you for salvation. Lord, we thank you for heaven. We thank you for hope. For those kids who are with you, and they're blessed, and they're happy with you. But in the middle of that, we pray for the parents and the community. And Lord, what Satan meant for evil, you will turn for good. We've seen what you're doing in Uvalde. In the middle of all the difficulty, there's a remnant of your people that are there, just loving people, giving away free hugs and free pies, just showing that you're in the middle of all this. And I know it's hard for us, but Father, I pray that today, through this message and through this service, we can honor you and give people the hope that they need here. To not keep the hope, but to share it with other people. We pray that in Jesus' name. And everybody says, give God a praise offering. Amen. You guys are welcome to have a seat. It's good to be here with you and be back. But it's a special day because we're going to dedicate some kids. Now, before the kids come up and we dedicate them, I want to say a couple of things. So we here at the church, we love to baptize. And we had 25 people get baptized after Easter, and we think it's a wonderful thing. And I want you to know, when I was in Jamaica, I baptized 5 players that went with us. One of them accepted Christ and then got baptized. And he's a kid I coach at UTSA, so it was really neat. It was really wonderful. But the reason these 5 players got baptized is we wanted to help them distinguish between a baby baptism and a believer's baptism. And we said, when you get baptized as a baby, that's something your parents want, and they want to introduce you to the church and be part of the body, and it's a dedication to the Lord, and it's a wonderful thing. I mean, the Hebrew people on the 8th day circumcised their children. So it's in the Old Testament to dedicate your children to the Lord and to consecrate them to the Lord, to separate them, to be separate, apart from everyone else. And that's what all these parents are doing today. So, but we don't baptize the children. Another thing we want you to do, we want you to know that we try to baptize people when they're 13 and older. And I know some people argue with that, going, John, a kid can accept Christ at 10. I go, I know that, and they can accept Christ, and maybe they have. But we want to wait till they're 13 so we can baptize them. So in the middle, you can accept Christ before that, but for us to make that public testimony, we want to do it when they're 13. So for these people that are here, we're gonna bring them up here, and I'll read their names, and then we'll pray for them because this is a special day for them. You know, I as they come up, there's one thing I always ask, like, Lord, what do you have for these children? What do you have for these parents? And today's message is going to be for them. So if we could come on up, we'll start off with obviously I'll ask my babe, my Vanna White. That's hilarious. So Andrew Ryan Jemte was born on September 9th, 2021, and by Carl, and they're a product of Carl and Deborah Jemte. So it's good. I just want to bite this kid. And we figured out that's a Hispanic thing, I guess. I don't know, but bless you guys. We appreciate y'all. Could y'all give them an applause, please? Thank you. Take that with you. Could y'all? So much. Oh, you just you see that, right? See, you wanted to do it too. Next. I love children. Children are such a joy. Wow. Stella. Only the old people know this. Stella. No, never mind. Stella Rose Galicia Garcia, born on November 8th, 2019. And obviously, she's from Paul Garcia and Rihanna Galicia. Good job. Bye, Stella. So happy that you're here. Thank you, guys. We appreciate y'all. Oy, que chulitas. Bless you. It's awesome. Next, oh man, this is a family that I have known for such a long time. Such a blessing. I just want to bite him too, right? Xander Mason Pamplin, born on June 13th, 2021 by Alec and Stormy Pamplin. You're such a blessing in our lives. Bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Good to see you, buddy. And next. Oh, man. This is the neat part about being a pastor, right? This is like, this is, we know the families and we've poured into them and it's wonderful. This is Kian Imai Barrera, born October 29, 2020, by people that we love, obviously, Rosie and Juan Barrera. You're a good looking boy. Yeah, you are. All the girls, look out. The girls are going to be in trouble. That's awesome. He's even got the gel hair and everything. Great. It's great. Awesome. And next, and finally, right? So my wife wants to bite him too. Oh, wow. That's high dollar right there. Rogelio Benavides Jr. with the cachete, the cheeks. Born on May 6, 2021 by Rogelio and Christina Benavides. Blessing to you guys. Thank y'all. All right. So we're going to do this. As y'all come up, could you guys come up here right here? We're gonna pray for them. And we're going to pray as a church for all of them, and we could do that. Keep coming a little further over here. Yes. If y'all could bow your heads and just extend your hand as we pray a blessing of the church to these families. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for all of these families. We pray for the men of these homes. Lord, if you want to change a country, you change a home. And the way you change a home is by changing men. And I pray that you help these men to guide their families and pastor their families into the way of Christ and the ways of the Lord. And we pray for the moms who continually bring their love and their hope and their joy and the laughter into the home. And Lord, we just pray blessings upon them as your body, as your church. Be with them. Take them by the hand. Guide them. Direct them into the places that they should go. Help them to stay away from rooms that they should not be in. And may they always glorify you. And the body of Christ says, amen. 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 Praise God. You guys can have a seat. Thank you, honey. That's so good. You know what amen means? I agree. Basically what it means. So as a church, we do agree with that. So in the middle of that, I want to say this. If you're graduating this year, and I'm not talking kindergarten or junior high, not yet. Right, but if you're graduating from high school or if you're graduating from college, whatever degree it is, whether it's a bachelor's, a master's, or a doctorate, could you stand up? Please, we want to pray for you as well. Is there anybody here that's a graduate? Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, here we go. Awesome. Awesome to you too. Thank you. Bless you. So today's message is such a powerful message. And I want to thank you for allowing me to go to Jamaica and go spend time with a community that needs a lot of Jesus. I found out that in Jamaica, per square mile, there's more churches in Jamaica than there is anywhere else, which is pretty neat. But also, per square mile, there's more bars. So you're going to get one spirit or the other. And we hope they get the Holy Spirit. But when we were there, it was such a blessing. It was indescribable. But I can't thank enough Hector and Robert for filling in for me. Could you guys give it up to them? Appreciate them doing that, and that's a big deal for me, because if the Lord somehow calls me sometime soon, you're in good hands. And our whole purpose is to always create a succession plan and always have somebody here in case something happens to me. And if the Lord calls me, he calls me, I'll be in a good place and I'll wait for you. But I like being here. Thank you, Robert. If you could bring the table to me, I appreciate it. All right, so it's been a while since I've preached to you. And further, it's been a while since I've talked about faith. Faith, this is a great series, and I really love this series on faith. Thank you, my friend. And I pray that as you walk away from here today, I can help answer some questions with all the stuff that's going on in the world. people think that, you know, we're losing a lot of things. And I want to give you hope today, because today's message is faith hopes in God. If you've lost your hope, my guess is you've placed your hope in the wrong thing. Because if you place your hope in God, you're not going to lose your faith. If you place your hope in God, you're not going to lose your faith. You're going to somehow, some way, find a way to remain strong in the Lord. See, this is an interesting thing that I want you to know. The Bible says, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord. See, God has called us to be strong in this world. Why does he call us to be strong in this world? Because evil exists in our world and injustice exists in our world. So we've been called to be strong. If I were to tell those that have graduated and those that are born and the parents that are teaching their children, look, I will tell you to help them to celebrate and enjoy the happy times. And as I've gotten older, happy times are wonderful. And when you have them, they're great. Enjoy them. Celebrate them. Because when they happen, you should not look the other way. You should stop, capture the moment, celebrate the moment. Do all you can to celebrate moments and create memories. They're good. But you also have to know that you better prepare them for the battles that they're going to face. Because we're all going to face a ton of battles. And there's going to be battles that we're going to face that we don't call upon ourselves, but they come upon us. And sometimes we wonder, where is the Lord in all of this? And I hope that today's message will bless you. I will try to define what hope is in truth number one. And truth number two, I will try to help you understand the difference a little bit between hope and faith, how faith is your why and how hope is your how. I'll try to explain that to you today. I'll try to explain to you how Satan attacks you. And what are his strategies to try to attack you so you kind of forget about your why, so you can stop doing your how, and you could freeze and be frozen and not do anything and struggle with life. Because if you know how your enemy attacks you, you know how to combat him. And the third thing I'll try to do at the end is help you understand the three phases that all of us go through in life. And as I give you those three, you'll understand where we are as a church, where you are as a family, so you can kind of see where you are as a person and what stage are you in those three. Father, I pray that today's word comes from your throne. I pray that you remove me out of the way. I pray that what is fed to them today comes from your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. So truth number one that I want to share with you today is this, and this is a picture. Hope is not natural. When we went through what we've gone through in the past 2 weeks, we were put in a dark tunnel. And some of us might still be in a dark tunnel with all that's going on, and we're wondering, where is the solution coming from? And there are moments in our lives that if we're not careful, if we don't keep feeding our faith through the Word of God, because faith comes from listening, and listening to what? Listening to the Word of God. If you listen to something other than the Word of God, you're going to lose your hope. So in our Wednesday night Bible study, Richard talked about it. So he was, when he found out what happened in Uvalde, he turned on to a Christian radio station, K-Love, and he was listening to all the songs of hope, and he was listening to pastors praying, and he heard, that's all he heard, because he was driving a long trip. And when he got home, or when he got back in town, he visited with a friend who was really upset, and Richard asked him, so what do you listen to? He said, I've just been listening to the news. And you see the difference. If you listen to the message of this world, you're going to lose your hope. You're going to lose your faith. Because this world will do everything it can to sap out any hope, crush your spirit, to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, which is the doctrine of Satan, to try to ruin your life. And if he can catch you to stop looking and feeding your faith, then if you stop feeding your faith, you'll stop walking with hope. And if you stop walking with hope, you'll be a zombie and a disaster to everybody else. And you will be caught up in the current of this world. And you'll just follow it without realizing that you're trying to row against the current. And you get exhausted and you get tired. Can I hear an amen to that? Is that what that picture looks like? Because that's like, man, it's an uphill climb. I'm here to tell you that hope is not natural. It's supernatural. It doesn't come from us. It comes from God, but it blesses us. And one of the biggest decisions you're going to have to make in your life for the rest of your life, if I would tell the graduates and if I would tell the parents of these children, the best thing you can do right now for your children is feed your faith as parents. Because as you feed your faith, you will grow your hope. And as you feed your faith and grow your hope, when you know your why, you'll know how and what to do. And you'll move forward and your children will watch it and they'll acknowledge and they'll see when things go bad, this is what we do. You don't have to tell them, they're going to watch. So if things go bad, what do? You can look at Jamaica. You can go to the bar or you can go to church. You make that choice. But what rooms you walk into, what books you read, what you listen to, what you feed is going to determine what your kids are going to watch. And if you don't direct them and coach them and train them, then their friends will. Boy, we've all been there. You know, we don't believe in judging, right? I learned something in Jamaica that another coach shared that I really love, because we talk about it in the coaching world, right? You can do one of three things. You can either coach, ref, or play. Which one are you going to do? So players, you play, coaches will coach, and the referees will referee. No matter how good or bad the coaching is, or good or bad the playing is, or good or bad the reffing is, you've got to learn how to manage that. Well, then the coach also said, in the kingdom, there's three things. You love, you convict, or you judge. And God's people are to love people, the Holy Spirit convicts people, and God judges people. When you start getting outside of your realm, and you start convicting people, you're trying to do the Holy Spirit's job, that's not your job. When you start judging people, that's not your job. That's God's job. Why can God judge? Because God is holy. And because he's holy, he can judge. And the Holy Spirit will convict us to go in directions that we should go instead of places that we shouldn't go. And what are we to do? Love people in the middle of what's going on. Because we're to show the love of God and the mercy of God. And we're also to show the truth. We're here to tell the truth, but the Holy Spirit does the convicting, not us. Can you give the Lord a praise offering for that? So as we read this in a little bit, we'll read in Psalms, not yet, but we'll read in Psalms how the psalmist is going, man, I struggle with this. He's battling with hope and he's struggling with, how do I keep moving forward? So if the psalmist who writes in the book of Psalms in the Bible struggles with this, so do we. So let's not deny the fact that we're not struggling with our faith at times or we're not struggling with our hope. You know, hope is an interesting thing. The world defines hope in an interesting thing, right? Like, I hope Dad gets home early so we can play. Well, that's not the hope of the Lord. That's a desire. The hope of the Lord is different. It's not a cross your finger hope. Like, man, I sure hope we can stay married. That's a desire. The hope of God, the hope that God gives is nothing like a cross your fingers, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye type of thing, right? That's just something we learned when we were kids. It's so horrible, but this, now that I think about it. But what hope is in the Lord, biblical hope, is very different. So there's mathematical certainty, there's logical certainty, and there's moral certainty. Let me explain those. Mathematical certainty. See, biblical hope is beyond mathematical certainty. Biblical hope is not just a desire, like I hope. When you hope in God, you expect God to do great things. And you're confident and certain that God will do something and God will fulfill his word. All right, so I'll give you an example. Mathematical certainty is when I put two apples and I bring two more apples, mathematical certainty is 2 + 2 = 4. You can't deny that. All right? Then there's this logical certainty. If all men die and I'm a man, logically that means that I'm going to die. That's logical certainty. Well, when my wife and I got married, and here we've been married almost 30 years, we don't live in this desire of, hey, I hope we stay married. We don't live in that. Hey, our desire is to stay married. I hope we stick it out. No, there's a moral certainty that we have. We've almost lived for 30 years, and we've gone through so many things in our life, highs and lows. And there's without a doubt, because of our wills that God has placed in us and because of the promise that God has for us, we believe without a, it's not a desire, not across our fingers, we believe without a shadow of a doubt that we're going to stay married the rest of our lives. So that's a different hope. It's not something the world has. It's something God has. So because we place our eyes and place our faith and place our marriage at the altar of Christ, we trust him that he's running our life, that we're going to stay married. And there's nothing that's going to ever get in the way of that marriage. What would it look like if you lived that way? Can you imagine the children you would produce and the things that God could do through your life? I'm telling you, every day, someone's watching you. Whether you think you're a leader or not, whether you think you're influential or not, you are. So don't put yourself down. Don't allow Satan to destroy you when you're struggling with hope. When you're struggling with faith, it is a daily grind. It is a daily battle. It's never going to go away. I look at hope as a reservoir, an emotional reservoir, where I put all my hope in the Lord, I put all my faith in the Lord, and he gives me hope, and he fills my reservoir. So when something happens in my life that tries to take away some of my faith or take away some of my hope, there's still enough left in the reservoir where I can keep going on and keep marching every single day because I've listened to the word, I've read the word, I've studied it, I've listened to the Holy Spirit, and I've let him guide me. And that's my prayer for you. If this were to be the last day of my life, I would say that is what you need for the rest of your life. Make sure that your reservoir of hope is filled completely because you're putting your eyes on Jesus Christ. That's what I would want for you, all right? And I say that's what I would want for you. That's what God wants for you, all right? Let's read scripture. Look at what the psalmist says. Watch. He says, why am I so discouraged? Time out. This is a man of God. And he's just saying what we're experiencing right now. Man, I'm just discouraged right now. I just don't like the way things are. Why is my heart so sad? Hear me. That is a normal emotion. And your children are going to experience it. So you have a responsibility, and we have a responsibility of preparing our children and preparing society for discouragement and sadness. We want to be happy. God says, be strong in the Lord. Because you're going to face so much adversity and difficulty in your life. My heart is discouraged. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? But watch what he says. In the middle of that, he flips it and says, I will put my hope in God. See, in the middle of my discouragement, in the middle of my sadness, in the middle of all the things that are going on that are rough in this world, in the middle of all of that, while I'm struggling, I will put my hope in God. That is the whole key to your life. Every day for the rest of your life, you have to have this habit. It is a habit that you must practice from now on until it's time to go. This is what makes you strong in the Lord. Put your hope in God. I will praise him, he says again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Man, that's good. I will remember you. I'm not going to take my eyes off you. I will read the Bible even though I don't like what's going on. I will try to sing a song. I raise a hallelujah. I don't feel like singing hallelujah right now. I don't like raising my hands right now. I don't want to do it right now. I'm hurting too much right now. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. That's what we need. That's what you need. every day. Don't stop. Remember the first time you ever had ice cream? You wanted to have it every day. This is your spiritual ice cream. This is what you should delight in. Don't place your hope in men and institutions and parties and any of that. Put it in the Lord. Because when you remember him, that's why he says, I'll praise him again. What is he saying? I can't do it right now. I can't praise him right now. It hurts too much right now. I'm struggling right now, but I will remember him. And because I remember him, I promise you, I will praise him again. Truth number two. Again, that wasn't natural. We have to practice that. Truth number two is this. An eternal perspective gives us hope. Remember COVID? Remember what we went through? Remember how everything shut down? Remember how it wasn't church? And no matter what you did, whether you wore a mask or didn't, you were in trouble. Whether we opened church or closed church, pastors were in trouble. I mean, it was a time of fear. And understandable, right? And yet in the middle of that, that's why I look at this picture. Here's this man, this grandfather who can't visit his kids, and they're having to look through the mirror and see, through the window and looking at each other. How do you deal with that? I'm going to tell you two things. I'm going to tell you to enjoy good moments and endure bad moments. I'm going to say that again because you're going to have both. Enjoy good moments and endure bad moments. And you're never going to have endurance if you don't have an eternal perspective. Your why, your mountaintop is the whole key to life. And if you don't have a mountaintop, if you don't have an eternal perspective, my mountaintop, and I pray that your mountaintop is God in heaven. And that's our home. And that's where we're going. But we're not there right now. So the question is, how do I stay strong? Well, I'm still not in heaven. Because when I get to heaven, I don't have to be strong anymore. You don't have to be strong anymore. We don't have to battle or fight anything. Because evil is removed from the presence of heaven. And there we can be happy. There are no things to endure. But here there are. So there's this, I forget which branch. I think it's, I'm going to guess wrong, so I'm not even going to say it. So there's this military branch that trains these soldiers, and they take them through rigorous training. And as they go through this rigorous training, the toughest day where all the cadets quit, where they quit, is when they have to go to this snow mountain. It's a really steep mountain. I don't know where it is. But as they go through this mountain, all they have is their feet and their will and their determination. And they carry a big backpack, and they do it for days. And right before they get to start, the sergeant comes up and says, look, 3/4 of you are going to quit today. Or this is the one that separates the contenders from the pretenders. And this is what he says. And he tells them this, look, you need to know why you're doing this, but you need to know how you're doing this. Because if all you do is look at the mountaintop and see how far away you are, you're going to get crushed because you're going to experience some physical pain that you cannot go anymore. Your endurance and your stamina will tell you to quit and stop. And then the more you look at the top of the mountain, the more you're going to go, I'm too far away. I'm done. And this is what he says, and this is what I want to share with you today. During times of pain and during times of endurance, it's hard to look at the top of the mountain. And he says, 3/4 of you are going to quit because you're so far away from it. Here's how you're going to survive. And this is the difference between faith and hope. Okay, for us, heaven is my why. Heaven is where my faith is. My faith is in the Lord. All right, that's my home. This is what I'm going through, but this isn't my home. That's my home. But in times of endurance, in times of struggle, when I have to endure tough times, it's hard to think about heaven. Am I the only one that thinks that? It's hard to just go, I'm just going to keep my eyes on heaven going. Sometimes that's difficult. So this is what the sergeant tells those of you who are going to make it. Here's what you're going to do. You're just going to look at the tree in front of you. And all you're going to do is get to that tree. And when you get to that tree, What you do now is you look at the next tree. And all you do is just get to the next tree. And when you get to that tree, you find the next closest tree you can get to. And when you want to quit and when you want to stop, you have to break the mountain down into small pieces, and this is how you're going to make it. And after a while, when you keep crossing one tree and getting to one tree and getting to another and getting to another, you're going to find out that you're going to be at the top of the mountain. And that is hope. Hope is how you get through your enduring times. And right now, our country is struggling. Maybe your home is struggling. Maybe your marriage is struggling. I don't know what it is that you're dealing with. But the only way you're going to get through it is just go through one day at a time. And as you go through one day at a time, as you get to one tree after another, don't lose sight of your big why. Don't lose sight of why you're here. But sometimes, I love my why when things are going great. When there's joy and happiness and I'm hitting it out of the park, man, that's wonderful. That's great. It's great. Scoring 30 points a game, all of that, right? Hitting hole-in-ones or what? Getting sales, a lot of sales, saving a lot of money. I don't care which one it is, right? Whichever one. Wonderful moments. That why is huge and wonderful. You don't have to worry about trees or anything because life is good. But when life is bad, you got to get one day at a time. You got to just survive. Because as you survive, as you continue to feed your faith, your hope will help you get through this day and get you to the next. Now, this is what I want to talk about real quickly, about how Satan tries to attack you. Because I told you I was going to tell you the three things that Satan does to try to, during your tough times and your suffering, this is what he does, okay? One, the first thing Satan wants to do is isolate you. The first thing Satan wants to do when you're dealing with tough times, when you're trying to endure, when you're trying to get to that first tree and you're struggling and you're just wondering if you're going to make it, what he wants you to do is he wants you to get all by yourself and cocoon up away from everybody and get away from the community, get away from a support group, get away from family, and you get all by yourself. And as you get all by yourself, that's when he attacks you the most. Come on, somebody say amen to that. He wants you to think that you're the only one. He wants you to think that nobody cares about you and nobody loves you. And he wants you to think that you're never going to make it. So what he does, as he does that, then all of a sudden you start thinking, I got nobody who's got my support. I got nobody who's going to divide my grief. No one who's going to multiply my joy. I'm all by myself. And when you are all alone, or when you think you're all alone, or when you start isolating yourself, think about this. Just stop for a second. Think about your toughest times. What made them tougher is when you were by yourself. Pity the person who falls and has nobody to help them up. That's what the Bible says. But the Bible says two are better than one. For if one falls, the other is there to help him up. One of the things that you must learn to do in these times is get together with like-minded people who are going to help you feed your faith. And for the women to have a Monday Bible study this Monday here, and for the men to have it all this month, Wednesday, we're getting together and we're gathering and we're breaking bread and we're also sharing the word and we're encouraging each other and helping each other. Why are we doing that? Because we know the importance of sticking together and being part of something bigger than yourself. Because we know iron sharpens iron, and so does one man sharpen another. Because we know that a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for tough times. We understand that. We don't just communicate, we connect. Because the closer we are together, Satan cannot attack us. If he attacks one of us, he attacks all of us. And together in Christ, we can overcome. So don't you dare isolate yourself. Don't you dare cocoon yourself up. Because if you do, man, you're in trouble. And now that tree is too far away. That tree seems as far as the mountaintop because you have nobody encouraging you. Try to work out by yourself or work out with a buddy. you're better off working out with someone else, right? And if you like the person that's training you, you've got the wrong trainer. You almost have to hate your trainer. Because your trainer's going to push you outside of your comfort. Because they want you to be something that you're not right now. You know, sometimes people don't like me as a coach. And sometimes people don't like me as a pastor. And it's like, I'm sorry, I'm here to, I don't want you to stay where you're at. I want the best version of yourself because that's what God wants. So let's get up to that tree. Let's get up to the next one and move on and move on. The second thing Satan does is he wants you to focus on yourself. Because when you just focus on yourself, you know what happens? Self-pity. When you just focus on your pain and yourself and your struggle and this isn't fair and this isn't right and all you do is look at yourself, Satan wants you to focus on you because if you focus on you, you have a finite, limited amount of ability. So he separates you from everyone else. You got no one else to listen to. The only person you can listen to is yourself. And here's what you're going to tell yourself. This isn't fair. This isn't right. I have my rights. And you're just going to focus on you. And instead of looking upward, you look inward. And as you look inward, you find out that there's not enough strength, that this problem is bigger than you. Come on. And the third thing he does after that is he wants you to lose sight of your sovereign, powerful, merciful, mighty, loving God. Because if you focus on your sovereign, all-powerful, all-loving, all-present God, and you know that he's walking with you in the middle of what you're going through, he doesn't have a chance to attack your hope and your faith. But if he gets you by yourself, away from the brethren and the sisters, and just focus on your thoughts instead of his thoughts, and you see one set of footprints, you think God has left you. When in reality, what's he doing? He's carrying you. But you're looking at, this isn't, look, it's just me. It was used to be two of us, and now it's me. And that's God saying, hey, I'm carrying you right now. And you don't see that. You don't see that at all. I hope this is blessing somebody today. Let's read scripture. Because the best thing that's going to bless you is the word of God. Blue is a truth. The psalmist says this, yet I still, in the middle of all of this, why is he going yet? Well, he's upset because the evil people are having success. And he's bothered by, Lord, look at all these people that aren't good and yet they're prosperous. So he's looking at himself, right? And then he realizes, no. Here's the truth. I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. That's a truth. You guide me with your counsel. I'm looking at what's wrong in this world. No. Come back to me. Yes. You lead me. You lead me to a glorious destiny. Come on, somebody say amen to that. How would you react and respond if you knew that in the middle of all that's going on right now, God is leading you to a glorious and wonderful destiny? Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you. Look at how everything flipped. I mean, he was complaining and upset, and he says, I desire you more than anything on earth. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you there yet where this is what you want, that I desire God more than anything on this earth? Interesting. My health may fail. My spirit may grow weak. But God remains the strength of my heart. Look, everything outside of me, and even sometimes everything inside of me can struggle. But Lord, I desire you more than anything else because you're going to strengthen my heart. You're going to strengthen my will. You're going to change and renew my thoughts and renew my mind. I will keep my eyes on you and not on this world. And though the world may be against me, but you are for me. That is the strength we need now, and it only comes through faith and hope in God. I want to punch something that's evil. And he goes further and says, He's mine forever. And look at this promise. Those who desert him will perish. For you destroy those who abandon you. And he goes, my mind was focused on everything that's wrong. And that's why I couldn't get to the next tree. That's why I couldn't see the mountaintop. I was looking at all the unfairness and all the injustice that's going on in this world. But when I looked at you, and when I reminded myself, and when your spirit, better yet, reminded me of who you are and what you do. The world is unfair. The world is unjust. My heart, my health may fail. My spirit will grow weak. But man, I desire you more than anything else. That is what we need to live in from here on out, because that is what you need to teach to your children. That is where you need to focus your marriage on. That's where you need to put your business on. Whatever it is that you're doing, never forget this truth. Watch what he says in verse 28. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things that you do. I close with truth number three. Faith is what manufactures hope. Faith is the top that grabs you at the bottom and starts pulling you up. Your faith, your why, will help you to do your what and to do your how. And that's what does it. Faith is the tree and hope is the fruit. That's the best way I would describe it. You know, it was interesting. Sometimes, if I could have, come up and put, thank you, brother. So, sometimes we get caught up in all the mess that's going on in this world, right? When I went to Jamaica, I learned something pretty neat. On the way to Jamaica, we didn't have a direct flight from here to, from Austin to Jamaica. We had a stop in Miami. Miami's a great town. The Miami airport, not so much. But we were in a layover for 4 hours in the Miami airport. You know that all of us didn't even think about anything. We just sat down, got on our phones. Some of us took naps. We waited for 4 hours, but that was our layover. There was no hope, there was no joy, and all of that was just our layover, because our destination and our purpose was Jamaica. Hear me. This earth, it's our layover. Hear me. It's our layover. We'll do what we need to do here on this earth. We'll glorify God in all that we can while we're here on this earth. But it's not our destination. Come on, somebody say amen. It's not our purpose. This is just where we are before we get to where we're supposed to be. So treat this emotionally as a layover. Don't let what happens, because then on our way back, we were in a plane for 3 hours on the runway and couldn't go anywhere. That was no fun. And then we flew for 3 hours to get back to our destination. But for 3 hours in that plane, you could see people just hemming and hawing. Don't know what hemming and hawing means. I guess hemming, hawing, I don't know what that is. They're hemming and hawing. Look at that. She's hemming and hawing. Hemming, hawing. I don't know what that is. Doesn't make any sense to me. But that's what we say here in Texas, right? So they were hemming and hawing. And we're all frustrated. We're like, it's kind of like what we're doing now over here in this earth. We're hemming and hawing. And when you hem and haw, you can't get to that tree, because you got your eyes on the wrong thing. And because you have your eyes on the wrong thing, your perspective is not eternal, it's not right, and because your mind isn't right, because you're focusing on these things and you're listening to all the noise of this world, you forget the reality and the truth. This is not where we belong. This is just a place where we stay for a second. This kind of leads me to the story of Joseph, because that's where everything we've done in the series on faith is from Hebrews chapter 11. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph is a good man. He's a great man. He has a dream, and he says this dream to his brothers, and his brothers get upset, and they take him away from his dad, and they sell him off to slavery, and he's going through injustice, and it's unfair, and he still keeps loving the Lord, and he keeps his integrity. And then finally he confronts his brothers, and him are confronted. And this is what he says. It's kind of what we're dealing with right now. He tells them, what you meant for evil, God used for good. In the middle of all of this, there's three things and three phases that I want to leave you with to help you. This is going on in all our lives. Three phases. One, there's a time of growth. There is a time of growth. I would tell the graduates, I would tell the parents of the little ones, teach your children, and I would tell all of us and anybody watching, because I'm doing it right now. There's a time of growth, and there's a time when you're going to grow, and there's a time when everything's going to go right. Do you know that when Jacob came over while Joseph was in Egypt and the family came over, there were only 70 people of the tribe of Jacob and Abraham. There was only 70 of them that came over to Egypt. When they left, there were 2 million people. That was a time of growth. And in our country and through our society and through the church, there was a time of growth where the church in America grew. And you celebrate those moments just like you're going to have in life. Some of you right now are going through a time of growth. Your business is growing. Your children are growing. We purposely set up graduates and babies today. Because look, y'all are starting your race, and y'all, the parents are finishing the race. And it's like, okay, and it goes by like this. Can I hear an amen of that? It flies by. Teach your children. When there's moments of growth, celebrate those moments because they're there. But that's not all of life. Because the second phase after moments of growth and times of growth, there's times of trial. And so these, in the middle of the growth, and as much as the clan of Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, as much as it grew, in the middle of their growth, there was so much growth that the Pharaoh felt threatened by them and he made them slaves. And there were times of difficulty and times of trial. And it doesn't mean that God wasn't with them. The God who helped them grow was the God who was with them in the middle of their pain. They needed to endure that pain. And that's why I'm telling you, enjoy the good moments and endure the difficult times. And during the time of trial, it was difficult for the cries of the slave, the oppression and the captivity was just rampant everywhere. God heard them. God was with them. And I'm here to tell you, God hears you right now. And God is with you right now. If you're going through a time of trial, he has not left you just like he did not leave the Hebrew people. And then you get to the final time. There's a time of growth and there's a time of trial. But the third one, there's a time of deliverance. And I hope in God that even in my trials, that I expect great things from God. Because I know the heart of God. And here's the thing I want you to know. The word says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You really can't trust the Lord if you don't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you're not going to trust him. If you don't know the Lord and you don't know his heart and you don't know his mind and you don't know his will and you don't know what's in his word, you're not going to trust him. You're going to take your eyes off him and focus on what you're dealing with. What helps me get to the next tree and the next one and the next one and the next one, and what helps me get to the top of the mountain is I know that God has placed this mountain in my life for a reason. And I know God's heart, and if God, and I know God's mind because I study his word enough, and I know that if God has placed it in front of me, he's going to help me get through it to the other side. And if I know that and I believe that and I trust in that and I keep my faith in that, I have the hope on how to get through every single day for the rest of my life. I know that God will deliver me in the end. And I know that this is a place where we're just here for a moment. And I'm here to give you hope that God will deliver you also. Trust in that. Because I'm going to tell you something. You have a choice to make. Because if you don't trust in him, you don't know him. And if you don't know him, I would ask you today, would you like to know him? Would you like to trust him with all of your heart? All your girlfriends trust, your girlfriend tells you trust her. Your boyfriend tells you trust him. Your coach says trust me. And we trust people without even knowing their heart. You think you do. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. So be careful when someone says they love you with all of their heart. Bro, that's encouraging. Let me give you scripture. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. Time out. Joseph knows what's going to happen. And he's basically saying, look, we're going to go through a rough patch here. But he's saying right here, we will be delivered. Hear me. We're going through a rough patch here. We're going through a tough time. And I'd love to tell you it's going to get better. I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I'm a practical guy. And the practicality of what I'm looking at is not going to get easier. We're in a time of trial in our country. Yes or no? And here's what I'm going to tell you. We can complain all we want to. You know what that's going to do? Never get us to the next tree. This is where God has gifted me to help teams and locker rooms go through trials and go through tough times in the body of Christ. This is where your training takes over. This is where the truth guides you and directs you. If you think it's going to get better when it's going to get worse, get off the mountain and you'll quit. You'll be like all those other people on that tread where they can't do it anymore. But I believe God has called us as his body, and I've been called as your pastor to help you understand to keep your eyes on Christ. Things will change. Gas prices will continue to change. The economy will continue to change. People will continue to complain. Trust the Lord. Your deliverance is in him. It's only in him. Remember that this is not our destination. This is our layover. Can you bow your heads? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you need for me to pray for you because you're struggling with this, you're struggling with, man, I can't get to the next tree, or I'm still struggling with the layover thing, or I've lost my hope, anything like that, could you raise your hand so I can pray for you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you and you and you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you as well. God bless you too. God bless you. I see your hand. Father, look at every hand that's been raised. You can put your hands down. Lord, we pray for them that you help them with what they're dealing with. Remind them of who you are. Remind them of how you have them in the palm of your hand. Remind them that even though there's one set of footprints, it's you carrying them. Help them and help us to help them not to be alone and not to think that they're all by themselves. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I'm going to ask this next question. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've tried to make it on your own, and maybe you knew religion, but you maybe didn't know Jesus Christ, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, make him the center of your life as he is the center of the universe, would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you. God bless you right here. God bless you right here. I've got two right here. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you right there. God bless you. God bless you over here in the corner. God bless you. God bless you and God bless you. God bless you too as well. I hope deacons are watching this. You don't need to be a prayer team. You need to be looking at these hands because we need to pray for them. For those of you who say you need Jesus, here's what you need to do. We call it the ABCs. All heads are bowed. All eyes are closed. Those of you that are saved, just keep praying for the Holy Spirit to call their name. And they come to life. Here's all you have to do. Is one, A, you have to admit that you're a sinner. And if you admit that you're a sinner, you have to admit that you need a Savior. You have to admit that you do not have the answers to life, that you do not have the answers to death, that you cannot bring yourself back to life. Two, that you cannot erase your sin. Hence, you need someone to do that for you, and Christ will do that. B, you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and he came to take away your sins. And through the blood of Christ, you've been redeemed and purchased by Christ. So if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and you give your life to him and believe it, and see, you confess it with your mouth because you believe it in your heart. All you have to do in your mouth is just say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord. I need you in my life. I need the hope that you give me. I want this to just be my layover because I want to be in heaven, and I confess you, Lord of my life. If you do that, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Father, I thank you for at least the 15 or 20 people that prayed that you need to help them with their hope. Lord, I thank you for the 10 people today that receive your hope because they accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that we as a church help them walk through this path, that they're not to walk it alone. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you do. I thank you that what was meant for evil will turn for good. Help us through these times of trials. Give us the strength to get to the next tree. Remind us that this is just a layover. Thank you, Lord, that you are our deliverer. Lord, I now pray for this offering and I pray for this worship. As we worship you with song and worship you with gift, Lord, may you be praised because we can never outgive you. We'll sing from our hearts and we'll give from our hearts to glorify you. Bless this offering and bless those that can give and those that can't give, Father, bless them so one day they will. Jesus' name. Amen. After the offering is played as passed and you've done that and we start singing, we can get up and worship and glorify God.